Petrolyon is joining us to bring us up to date with what's happening around the world. And I guess the big story today in the investment markets anyway is the craziness that's happening in China again. The markets, they're really surging ahead. We've got a lovely proxy here in South Africa through Prosus and Naspers, although they haven't done as well today as the Chinese markets. Why, Pete? Why is China going so crazy?
Well, I think I saw a chart this morning which showed that globally, fund managers had actually, it's been the least desirable asset for global fund managers. And in fact, hedge funds have been net short of China for the first time in a very, very long time. So I think sentiment towards investing in China had become super negative. And what we see now is with the government there proposing all sorts of monetary and fiscal relief, I think there's been some covering of shorts and a knee-jerk reaction to get back into the market, which has pushed up by quite a bit, I think 20% or so over the past week.
What does covering of shorts mean?
So I think hedge funds in particular can, if they don't like an asset, if they think an asset will go down, they can sell it short and oversell it with the purpose of buying it back later once it's gone down. In other words, make money from a decline in the share price as opposed to most investors who buy assets hoping they'll go up to make money from owning or being long the asset. Hedge funds are short assets, make money from being short the asset and make money from it going down.
So if the market moves against them, then they have to rush in quickly and buy the shares. Otherwise, they're going to get really pounded.
That's right. And you'll find that most hedge funds are short on a leverage basis. In other words, they are, every time it goes down, they have to actually cover more principal than they originally would have had to do. So the further the market goes up, the more they have to cover. It becomes almost a self-sustaining cycle.
But that sounds like betting. It doesn't sound like investing.
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of short-term investors out there these days with social media and all these tools that investors have. It almost changes the market into a casino away from an investment environment. So I think there has been a big change in markets over time that has become much more short-term orientated. If you look at turnovers on different stock exchanges, I think the US stock exchanges, the average holding period is less than 3 months. So that has been a big change in markets over the past decades. I think it was Munger or Buffett who said that in the short term, the market is a voting machine. In other words, it buys what's popular and sells what's unpopular. But in the long term, it's a weighing machine. In other words, it weighs earnings and adjusts share price according to the earnings power of the businesses. And I think that still remains true today, that even though it has morphed into a casino-like environment in the short term, over the long term, the market still remains a weighing machine and will weigh and will judge share price according to the underlying earnings power.
So just be careful if you get sucked in the casino and are doing fine for a period of time. You don't know when the trend is going to change. Like in China, as you said earlier, it's been kind of a one-way bet for a while.
Well, for a while, I mean, China has done exactly 0% annual return since 1992 in US dollar terms. So it's been a disastrous place to invest over the long term. And that's been for a variety of reasons. It's a communist country. The governance is unsure. We don't really know how the legal system works. I don't think anybody really knows how the legal system works. Places like the USA and Europe and the UK have well-entrenched company law. I'm not sure that's in place in China. I stand to be corrected on that, but I don't think there is a body of company law in China. The second thing you have there is you have exchange controls in China. and you have a strong capital outflow from local Chinese investors. The third thing you have is the VIE structures, the variable interest entities with which all these Chinese companies have listed offshore, which doesn't give you ownership of the business. It gives you ownership. It's a contract which gives you ownership of certain cash flows, but you don't own the equity in the business, which introduces all sorts of other risks. And the final risk is that the population is not increasing, it's declining. And over time, the economy grows with population growth multiplied by productivity growth, and their population is going backwards. So you'd expect GDP growth to decline going forward, or the rate of growth to reduce going forward. So it's not a surprise that it's been one of the worst places in the world to invest over the past 30 years, much worse than South Africa, by the way.
But every dog has its day, or is it going to be a temporary day or a long weekend here?
So personally, I've viewed China as being uninvestable for a long time because the prices did not reflect these realities that investors faced. Everybody was looking at the high growth rates, and the economy was expanding, and the infrastructure, they were busy building lots of infrastructure. People were looking at those growth rates and saying they want part of that action, and they didn't really mind what price they paid for it. And they didn't worry about the risks. And now the focus is all on the risks, and prices have declined to reflect that risk. So those risks are now baked into the prices. So it's a much more investable place today than it has been for a very long time.
Are you invested there?
Well, in the fund where I have the ability to invest in, the Cockroach Fund or the Merchant West Investments Worldwide Flexible Fund, there I have invested in emerging market indices, ETFs, because I don't take stock-specific positions. That fund, I invest via indices or funds. And I've, in the equity portion of that fund, I am very overweight emerging markets. And within the emerging markets index, China is about 30 or 40% of that index. So yes, I am invested.
Are you happy after the 20% gain that we've seen in the last couple of weeks to stay there?
Yes, I'm still happy to stay there. I still think that it is, you know, just because a stock or an asset is up 20% doesn't mean it's gone from cheap to expensive. We'll have to see how things develop going forward and continually adjust one's price to value relationship as the fundamentals change and as prices change. But just because something is up 20% doesn't mean you have to buy or sell it. I still think that on a price-to-value basis, China looks okay. The risks are still there, but the prices are still low enough to compensate you for those risks.
Let's come home now, and you've been a bull on South Africa, rightly so, for a period of time now, a couple of years. These ructions that we've seen in the past week, though, in particular over the weekend, with the government of national unity now coming into focus after Tshwane's changes with Celia Brink, the mayor, being voted out of office. Is this enough to make you worried?
No. I think I said at the outset when the GNU was established that there would be a lot of noise, because at the end of the day, it is a compromise between different parties. And as with any compromise, there will be certain points of disagreement which will have to be negotiated. And these negotiations will sometimes take the form of public actions and sometimes take place in private arenas. What happened to Tshwane is a public negotiation process, and I think we'll see a lot more of that going forward. So I expect volatility. I expect there will not to be a smooth process. It will be a volatile process, and it will be volatile as a result of the different participants in the GNU's negotiating position. So I don't think it comes as a surprise, and it doesn't, at this point, unless old GNU falls apart, but at this point, this sort of reaction wouldn't change my investment stance.
I'm just thinking on that because so much is now being put on the ability of politicians to work together in the public interest, but they haven't got a very good track record in our country of actually achieving that.
Well, in any country, as it happens, I if you look at what's happened in the politics of the UK over the past 5 years, it's been a much greater clown show than anything the GNU can throw up. So, and the US, I mean, is the case in point. I mean, what's going on there is ridiculous. So Politicians, yes. I don't think they always work in the best interest of the country. Politicians work in their best in their own best interest, and that their best interest is to try and get elected again. So to the extent that the GNU can be successful in creating an environment where most South Africans' lives get better, that increases the electability of the politicians who are part of the GNU, and that is in their interest to carry on doing what they're doing in the GNU. So, as long as they're acting in the best interest, I think it can carry on, and I think it can work in our favor as citizens of the country.
Pete, just seeing when this is going to come through to the markets themselves or to the bottom line of the companies. We had an update today from PPC, which said that the volumes of sales in South Africa in the last 4 months of cement are down by 5%. Is it still far too early to expect something of that nature to start picking up with the stability that we're seeing on a political side?
Yeah, I think it's far too early to look at the fundamentals or the earnings power of companies or of the economy to have increased. What you need is political stability, then you get confidence, and then you get companies spending money and government spending money on infrastructure and so on. So the fundamentals come later. So when you're valuing an asset or a business, there are two components of the valuation. The one is the cash flows it generates, and the other one is the interest rate at which you discount those cash flows to present value to find out what the value of the business is. The cash flows represent its earnings power, and those would not have changed just because we had an election 2 months ago and there's been a new and the politics. The earnings power will come later, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months down the line. Then you'll see cash flows starting to pick up and increase if the confidence can take hold and can be continued as the confidence in the economy. What has actually happened since the election is that interest rates, long bond yields have come down by 250 basis points or 2.5%, from 13% to 10.5%. So if the cash flows have remained the same, which I assume they have, the earnings power of business have not changed yet, but your discount rate has gone down by 2.5%, that means the value of today's cash flow, which is the same as yesterday's cash flow, has gone up by a certain amount just because interest rates have come down. So that's all that's happened now is that company values have, the valuations of business have gone up because of lower interest rates. Fundamentals still have to come through in terms of higher earnings power and cash generation in the future.
Share prices overreacted? We've seen the JSE getting to a new record.
Look, I mean, a large portion of what's pushed the JSE to a new record is stocks like Naspers and Prosus and Richemont, which have reacted to what's happening in China and don't reflect what's happening on the ground in South Africa. But yes, SA Inc., the companies that I term as SA Inc. that reflect SA business conditions, those shares are up 20, 30, 40% over the past 2-3 months since the election. But again, I don't think they've run ahead of themselves. They're just reflecting the reduced interest rate or lower discount rate that is being used in the market or should be used in the market. I think they still will have legs in future due to improved fundamentals, improved earnings power. So they've run hard. There might be a correction going forward. There might not. Who knows about these things? Nobody can predict the short-term movements in interest rates. But the second shoe that still needs to drop is that of increased earnings power. And when that happens, I think one can see even more upside.
Thanks for clarifying that for us. Pete, I don't know if you know a company called York Timbers, but I'm going to ask you about this one because I know you do find these smaller and medium-sized companies that are trading at big discounts and like looking at them. I see the share price today is 225 cents. The company's net asset value is over 6 Rand, and that's timber. But what did bother me in the earnings report that came out today, it's for the year to end June, is that the value of those net assets were up 11% in the past year. Now, we've all been very aware of what happened at a similar business in Tongaat Hulett, where the asset value of their biological products, i.e. in their case, sugarcane, in this case, timber, seem to have been inflated. I'm not accusing York Timber of doing anything like that, but does that require a little bit of skepticism?
Look, I think one needs to look at the assumptions that are being used in the calculation of the standing value of the timber. I haven't looked at it personally, so I wouldn't be able to comment on exactly what those assumptions are. I'd probably take a step back and look at the management and the incentives that drive management. And at Tolgard Hewlett, I think there were significant incentives in terms of share price and options and those sort of things, which drove short-term actions, which drove management to start inflating asset values. And once you start down that road, it gets quite treacherous. And I think they couldn't stop. They carried on and on and on until they got into a situation where they actually were committing fraud. If you look at York, for a long time, York was owned by a private equity business, which is trying to justify the value because they can only own a company for 10 years. They invest, and then when their fund runs out, they have to sell it. So they were also, in a way, incentivized to inflate the value. And they, I wouldn't say they did so by underhand means, but there was a lot of positive accounting methods being used, which the market saw through. And you can see that the York share price done nothing for years and years and years. But about 2 years ago, new management has taken over. I think the guys also run Novus have taken a big shareholding in it, if I'm not mistaken, as André van der Veen and others. And I think these people are good capital allocators and will do the right things for the business over the long term. So just judging by who is in control and what the incentives are, I think long-term investors probably should have a look at York.
And it's done well in the past financial year, coming from a loss of about 70 cents a share to a profit of 30 cents a share. So at least it's moving in the right direction on that one. Just to close off with this company, Renergen, has it ever piqued your interest?
It's something I looked at a while. I think I owned it for a brief period. When they just started out in 2019, around about there. But then it got, and again, these are subjective things. These are not, it's not quantifiable. But at one point, it became very promotional, and that's when I decided to sell the shares because it became over-promotional. And once management becomes promotional like that, it's almost like they're trying to sell you stuff instead of actually creating value. So I haven't followed it since then. I know that they've made certain promises to the market, and those promises have not yet been kept or fulfilled. And I think the market is now in show-me mode. It has to show the market that it can produce gas, that it can produce helium at the quantities which it said it would. And it's now about 2 or 3 years behind where it said it would be. So I think it has a credibility problem. And the only way to solve a credibility problem is to do things rather than say you're going to do things.
And today, the quarterly results coming out from that company, which says they have now started producing helium. So it's not testing anymore. They're in production. However, they've had they've stubbed their toes on a few of the production issues as well. But at least now we'll be able to watch it.
Yeah, and that's so with almost any engineering and mining project is that it takes longer, it costs more, and there are many more problems than you think there will be at the outset. So it's not unique for energy. It's the same with any mining or engineering project. I mean, just think of a home renovation. How many problems you can have with a home renovation?
The snag list. Have you had one of those lately? Ours just keeps growing. But Petfulian is with RECM, and I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.